Hey guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about success, we talk about freedom. Because the truth is, a lot of people look successful, but they're trapped by fear, old stories, self-doubt, identities they sabotage. And really, God created every single one of us with a purpose, with gifts, with potential. But somewhere along the way, a lot of people stop believing they can become who they were created to be. So today we're going to talk about faith, identity, trust, freedom, purpose, and what it takes to break through the things that are holding us back. Today's guest is Dr. B. We are talking to Dr. Brian Arnold today. He's a speaker, professor, author, podcast host, and the creator of The Journey to Freedom. He's a man dedicated to helping people become who they need to be so they can do what they were created to do. You guys know I'm very much in alignment, I'm sure, with everything he's about to bring upon us today. So, Dr. B, before you started teaching freedom, what were you personally trying to break free from?
You know, there's think that's a great question too, because I think of my life and my journey and all the things that I've been trying to do in my life. You know, I started out where, you know, I w ended up being what they considered a special ed child, right? One that couldn't be in the mainstream classes, where I couldn't read by like third grade, and so they wanted to make sure that I could read and I could write. And so when I look back at it, I don't know how special that I was. I think it was part of an educational system that just didn't know how to deal with me. Whether it was ADHD or whatever it was. But then, I grew up with this belief that I wasn't enough. I grew up that I didn't believe that I could achieve the things that other people did. I was in comparison of the people that were around me. I am so thankful that I grew up, you know, started elementary school in the 70s and not the 2020, because now comparison with social media, I would have just been knocked out forever, you know, because I would have probably compared myself with the rest of the world like many of our children do. I didn't want to go to college. I said, there's no way. I'm just going to go be a stuntman. That's what I decided I was going to do. I was going to go to Hollywood and be a stuntman. And my mom said, I need you to go to college. I need you to get an education. I said, no way, mom. She said, well, and I just happened to be a pretty good athlete, so I was getting scholarship offers to go to college. I just didn't want any part of it because I believed I wasn't enough. And she said to me, you know, if you go to college and you graduate, I'll buy you a Jeep when you graduate. And that, for an 18-year-old that didn't believe he was enough, a Jeep was like, oh, cool. Now my mom's 82. I'm still waiting for my Jeep, but I did go to school. And so it was kind of cool. And so I went to college. College was good for me. I got the help that I needed. I got the folks that helped me. I ended up with a bachelor's degree in communication and then one and one in physical education. But I got knocked back down. So I came back to Colorado. I grew up here in Denver, Colorado, and I went to California. And the reason I went to California, I picked a school as closest to Hollywood that I could, because I figured after 1 year of college,
Fall
I was going
back.
to drop out and go be a stuntman. And so I went to Azusa Pacific University there, and it just, like I said, it ended up being great. So I came back to Colorado to be a PE teacher. And then in Colorado, they said, in order, this was in 1987, I think, they said, in order to teach in Colorado, you have to take a test. In fact, you have to take a spelling test in order to teach PE in Colorado. I mean, really just to blow a whistle and help people be able to run and jump, and I have to be able to pass the spelling test. They said, that's right. And so I took the spelling test and I failed it twice. And so I went back to California. I ended up, you know, teaching at a high school. They didn't care about if I could spell or not in California. So I started doing that. Now, where the equalizer came, and I know this is a long answer to a quick question, but
Not at
where the
all.
equalizer came was I was able to go get my master's in educational technology. And for the first time, because now I had a spell check, now I had a grammar check, now I had the ability to write without me trying to write it on a piece of paper where people couldn't read, I kind of felt like I was even. And as soon as I graduated with my master's, I was offered a job at the university to teach technology to other teachers. So now I've arrived, right? I'm this guy who's doing, you know, doing the thing that he loves to do. The problem, and I don't think it was a problem. The blessing that I have is I have 8 children now, and I have 16 grandkids. So as I'm trying to raise these children, I'm teaching and going, wait, this isn't enough money as a teacher to raise these kids the way that I want to. And so what I did from there is I went and opened up my own business. I started a mortgage company in 2000. I started a financial services company. They were doing phenomenal. Then 2008 hit. And so during this time, though, began my journey of personal development and becoming who God wanted me to be and getting ordained and all these things that allowed me to go, wait a minute, there's more to life. I can go back. I can start over. Came back to Colorado. My mom was sick and we worked through that. And then I started working homeless services and doing, working in those world and running some facilities. And then I said, no, let me go back and start teaching people to do what I've been able to do. Because there's a whole lot of people who are like me. And the key is, how do we get in alignment? How do we check get our identity? And it's just been phenomenal since, I guess, last 7 or 8 years, where it's just been, person after person that I've been able to walk with, to help with, to go, hey, what does God want for you? Let's find that out first. What is your purpose? Yeah. Now let's go do the thing that you want to do. So.
And the fact you make it so relatable because you've been there. And I think that's what I really want the show to encompass, is that, like, yes, I have incredibly successful people on here, but they've been in the arena. Like, they get knocked down and they have to get back up. And it is a lot of times just like reinventing yourself and not sticking yourself in a box. You were never like, well, I'm a teacher, that's what I chose, so I guess the family's going to struggle. You were like, no, let's get creative and think, like, what else can we do right now? I think that's incredible. What is outside of the curated Instagram motivational posts, like, what does freedom actually mean to you?
That's such a good question, because freedom means that I'm able to move through life. I have a affirmation that I say more. I said, dear Lord, give me the wisdom to do the things you put me on this earth to do in the way that pleases you and serves others. And what I found out is, I don't think you can live in purpose. I don't think you can live if you are not serving other people. And so when I think about freedom and I think about what that journey looks like, it's a journey that you never get to, but it's a journey that allows you to do whatever your assignment is, whatever you were called to do. When I started the Journey to Freedom podcast, I went to this incredible event that was in Minnesota. A guy named David Horsager was on trust leadership and how do you start with trust and act with trust. And I go there and there's 1,000 people, or no, I think 500, 600 people in the room. And there was only 30 folks of color in the room. And I'm going, why is it that my community that I'm part of isn't getting this information? We don't trust ourselves. We don't trust other men. We don't trust other, we don't trust our women. We just don't trust. Part of it is America and the way that it's been. And just part of it is just our culture. And so I said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to start a whole bunch of, I was working for a place called Issachar Center for Urban Leaders Development. And so I said, how do we start doing these classes? And I said, one of the best ways is to start a podcast. Let me find, I said, I want to start a podcast with people of color. And so God said, no, I need you to do with black men. And I'm like, I don't want to just do black men. And that was back in 2023. I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do. So I did 100. And I said, I'm going to do 100 episodes in a year. I did 105. We're now at like 290 episodes with that. And I found black men from all over the country with all walks of life who have been able to show success. I said, it didn't matter to me that I had to see another person who looked like me doing whatever that they're doing.
Yeah.
But I realized I counted when I was in the room. And so do a lot of us, when we show up in rooms that are predominantly rooms of white folks, we usually count. How many of us are there? Can I do it? Am I capable? Am I enough? And so when I think about that journey to freedom and what it means, and I take a group every year down to Alabama, where we do a civil rights tour. And then I started another podcast called Living Boldly with Purpose. And what's that mean? And so freedom to me is the freedom to be able to be, not only to be in what God has you and called you to be, but be able to do it and do it well. I don't like to do anything halfway. I want to do, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And it just allows me to do it. So I hope that kind of helps with
that. It absolutely did. I think the work that you're doing is incredibly powerful. I have a running question, and I think it's just always in the back of my mind. I think I asked myself this question before, I record my shows or, have these interviews. Why do so many people stay stuck even when they desperately want the change?
Yeah. I think a lot of it is your associations, because you are the average of the five people. I'm sure you've heard that all over, that you hang around with. They don't know how to get out of that bubble of those folks because they don't believe that they were born for greatness. They don't believe that they're enough. And so that belief comes through creating habits. And those habits have to be created usually with somebody who can help you do it. And so if only people stay stuck because first they try to do it themselves. They say, I can do this, and then they fail, and then they give up on themselves. And so they got to find somebody that will walk through life with them that helps believe in them more than they believe in themselves until they can believe in themselves more. And so as I walk through and I work with people on identity and I find out, okay, what is the identity that you hold for yourself? I went to a Tony Robbins thing probably in the 90s, and he said the greatest force on earth is being congruent with the identity that you hold for yourself. And so many people that you walk through, whether they've been beat up or they just been folks have talked to them in a certain way that they believe they can achieve it. And until we can start shaping that identity, until we can start moving that, they're not in alignment with their values. They say, this is my value. I put God first in everything I do. And I look at their calendar and say, where's that at? Like, show me like in your calendar. Oh yeah, I did do it. So the alignment, and then you know, obviously faith, and you know, you can tell I have a strong faith in what God is capable of doing, you know, and just the finding out what that purpose is. And so many people were told, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to amount to. I could have taken that, you know, if I would went to, I don't know if I would, I think I would have probably been a successful stuntman, but I could have taken that and said, I'm just going to go work at a factory. I was destined to be a factory worker. And I'm not saying anything against being a factory worker if that is where God puts you, but there's so many people that are working in factories that have all these ideas and dreams and things that they never go to because they're stuck in the world that they believe that they can't get out of.
Yeah. I love that. And I love what you're saying about identity, because I think that is a complete key in personal transformation. But also, I mean, I think our identity is kind of, you know, at some point before we come into that awareness, before we understand God's calling on our life, I think identity is so tied to like expectations of other people. So if you were speaking, you know, to someone in my audience today, what would you recognize or want them to see that could be a red flag that they're living someone else's expectations instead of their true purpose?
I love that, because it's not even somebody else's expectations. Part of it goes into the comparison trap. You know, I talked about that earlier a little bit of, you know, we look at somebody else, especially with social media or whatever it is, we look at their lives and somehow we think that they're better, that they're lucky, that they were given the dealt this better hand than I ever was. And so those are, you know, the hand that we're dealt is those contributing factors that contribute to who our belief system and who we are. But that belief is a lie. That belief is such a big lie, because the belief on the future is something we don't know that's going to happen. And yet we believe it. And so now we compare and say, I can't do that because I wasn't dealt that same hand. I can't do that because that person was able, they were just so lucky. And we look at these external contributing factors instead of what are the determining factors with which are inside of that says we can do anything. And I think we hear that a lot, but we don't believe it. We don't think that, hey, that's possible for me and I'm able to do it. And so one of the things that I would say, who are you around? I said that before, like, who are you around that is a person in your life that always lifts you up? Get around them more. Who is that person in your life that always brings you down? Stay away from them more. You know, and sometimes they're your family. Sometimes they're the people that you say, I feel comfortable. And if you're not feeling uncomfortable, you're not moving forward. You know, if you're not feeling like, oh, there's a little bit, I don't know if I can do this. And then taking one chance. We are only as good as the promises that we keep to ourselves. And so every day, one of the things that I do in the routine I live is I say, what promise are you going to make to yourself? And then I want you to write it down. I want you to say it out loud. And I want you to do it before you go to bed. I want you to do this every single day, because that's a muscle you need to build. Is you say a promise, you make it to yourself, you do it every day. Once you do that, now you become a person now starts to believe that you're capable of doing stuff, because you now are keeping the promises that you made to yourself. So many of us say, hey, I'm going to do this today. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to spend 20 minutes. I'm going to be healthy. And then it lasts for like a day, right? Or 2 days or 5 days. As soon as they get sore, they give up. As soon as a little bit of friction comes against them, they're not willing to push through. And so, and that's hard to do by yourself. It is so hard to do, because you only know the mind that you have, and you only know the experiences that you have. And you've only known that you've let yourself down over and over and over again. So you, when you started that journey of working out, you didn't believe you were going to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
You had already decided you weren't going to make it. I'll try. You
Yeah.
don't try. You just do or you don't rota, right? You do or you
You
do
do,
not.
you
You don't
don't.
try.
Yeah. I love that. And I love what you're saying of, you know, just pointing out the fact that you're like, you know, you're kind of on this journey yourself. You have to do this yourself for yourself. And I used to be very like, you know, it's always been me. I've had to do all these things. And then I start reading the Bible, and that's the guidebook now. And I think I wish someone would have, you know, I don't know. I can't really wish it. I can't change it. Because if someone would have told me 10 years ago, just read the Bible every day and you're gonna figure it out. I wish I'd have known 10 years ago, because now it's changed everything, because everything's in there. It's a guide, and you're not doing it by yourself. Like, literally, I've joked about there's not a guidebook to life, but there is. And the crazy thing is that we really aren't doing it by ourselves, and every single thing is in there about our stewardship, about taking care of our bodies, about the people we hang around. It's, you know, every single thing is in there, about keeping the promise to yourself, about, you know, stewarding your mental health, your soul, like all of it's incredible. How would you know, kind of help people understand how much faith is a key in navigating uncertainty?
Yeah, it's when you think of like I say, you know, the how do I say this every day? I said it's going to be a great day, you know, kind of like I can't remember the singer in every way because the God who made the universe knows you by your name, and being able to follow this that you can have an amazing, you can have an awesome, you can have an awestruck day because you know He's on your side. Well, how do you know that? Well, you start a relationship with Him. It's not about the church you go to. It's not about the religion that you. It's about a relationship that you have with the person who created the universe. You know, when I think of like a lot of folks that will talk about, well, I'm just following the universe. I'm like, why don't you follow the person who actually created it
Created
instead of the person that, you know, because there are laws within, and if you follow the laws that He put in place, you know, the law of gravity, you cannot escape the law of gravity because that is something He put in place. And so the law of relationship, the law of how it works with people and combined with people. And so faith is going to be part of your life no matter what, because that's part of our innate process of how He created us. But now it's what your faith is in. You know, you're gonna have faith in yourself or your faith in the world or faith in, you know, the devil or faith in God that says that He can walk you through. And so that's the same, you know, as I'm saying, like your associations and the people, you know, I think He put Jesus on the earth and he gave him 12 people that then went out and talked to other people who talked to other people and talked to other people. And now we have the ability to pick up the greatest success book that ever was made and the best-selling success book that has ever been written. And we have the ability to read it. But I don't know if reading is enough. I think the relationships that he, because he created us to be in relationship. And so if you allow yourself to do it. And so I would start with something like, you know, the routine thing that I have every single morning. It's called the routine.live. It is, and I'm not saying you need to do it fine somewhere, but at least I start out with breathing exercises. Then I start out with, then I do a devotional, and then I do, you know, where we just do a gratitude session, and then we do a quiet time, and then we start with some, you know, some affirmations that are part of what God would have us to do. I walk in the favor of God. I live in the Father God. I will not settle for, you know. So I talk about these things that allow you to begin that relationship. But whether it's at a church or whether it's at a friend's house or whether it's at a, find a place where you can learn about what He has for your life and what he would like for you to do. Because once you're in His purpose, oh my gosh, your life is so exciting. It's the people who aren't that you go, that's a miserable life. And you want to compare, you know, even if they're famous, right? They're famous and they got these, what Britney Spears, right? Is this, they're throwing out, right? What a terrible life. What does she need? I could tell you what she needs
No,
in
you're
a big
right.
way.
And I think our culture kind of has highlighted that, you know, the things like it's something I've learned a long time ago that I can see, you know, I work with women who have money that I could have only ever dreamed of, and they're the most miserable, depressed, you know, under they're just lost. And what's the missing component? I can find it every single time. But there is, I would love to hear your perspective on the connection between personal responsibility and freedom, because I think we have a big problem with personal responsibility in now, currently.
I think if every the world would be totally different if everybody looked at how do I serve another person today instead of myself. And our personal responsibility is when I wake up every single morning, that same thing I said, dear Lord, give me the wisdom to do the things you put me on this earth to do in a way that pleases you and serves others. And I think the world would change like that. Obviously, it's not because God gave it to the devil, and someday we will get there. But if we all had the ability, if my personal responsibility is how I can serve somebody today, I say every day in one of my affirmations, I make meaningful connections every day. I need to be 100% present in every single one of those connections, which means that I have to have my eyes up, my phone down, that I'm using two ears and one mouth to listen to what somebody has to say because I cannot help them. I cannot serve them if I don't even know where they're coming from. And so many of the times we show up with somebody, right? And we spend more time, trying to talk about ourselves instead of what they need. And if we showed up as our, if we believed our responsibility every day is to do that, every day is a service, then that, like I said, that to me, that's freedom because that's where you believe that, okay, this is my purpose. This is my assignment. This is why I'm on this planet. Now I get to serve you in a way, and then let God take care of the rest. All the desires of my heart are going to come from me putting other folks first, spending time with other folks, being in constant, presence with them when I'm there with them. I'm not, like I said, it's such a big deal to me. That's why I love podcasting and I love this venue of podcasting because for a half hour or an hour, however long the show is, I get 100% concentration. Where else do you get to spend, that amount of time talking to another individual, another person that God put on this planet without any distractions? Yeah, without the phones, without, it is so cool to be able to do it. But if I go to a restaurant, what do you see around in a restaurant?
All
A
day.
family of people all acting like the rest of the world is more important. When I start my devotional every morning, I say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop the world's noise until we do this. That means I need you to shut off your tablets. I need you to shut off your phones. I need you to shut off your computers. I don't want you to try to integrate into the world before you integrate with our God. And so if you can do that every morning, we started it this year, me doing my devotional online and doing it, and we're at today was day 167. And I
Nice.
have people that have been 167 days without using technology first in the morning when they get up, which is that the lives are changing. You'd be so amazed at what, I'm not saying don't do it later, and I'm not saying, but if you set an intention for your day that this is going to be the most important thing that I do when I get up in the morning, oh my gosh, it's so fun to do. It's so fun to see people change me, my including myself, because now I have a responsibility. Talking about responsibility and freedom, right? I don't have the freedom not to get up at 6:30 in the morning because that's what I do it, but I do have the freedom to determine what's my day going to look like. What are my intentions for the day? How are those going to, now life is going to happen, right? There are going to be, I can't direct my whole day, but I can say this is what's important to me and then let God do the rest of it.
I love that. And that has been an incredible gift in my life to, before I open the phone, before I check the emails, before I do the things, it is reading the scripture. I give that time, and it's if the days that I don't, when life is lifing, and the days that I don't, I'm a different person. I don't feel as grounded. I feel a little more that temptation to be more reactive. And I'm more in my emotions rather than just being really solid. So there is a very prominent difference on the days that I when life is lifing and when I have a chance to stick to the routine. So I love that you guys are doing that. I think the whole world, if we could just take some time in the mornings before we open our phone, I think we're different. Otherwise,
Oh my gosh.
your whole mood is given to the device, and the devil's busy, man. He's
Oh
curated
gosh.
a lot of things here intentionally so that he does steal your joy and steal your peace and have you activated and have you angry and have you just distracted, because we can't be in our potential if our heads are on our phones 24/7. I love that. Why do you see such, so many, because I know I see this a lot, and I think it's probably part of the pattern you see in working with people. Seeing these well-intentioned, people with that just the intention, I guess, sabotage the opportunities that they're literally praying for.
It goes back to the belief. It goes back to, these are, I want this to happen with my, I'm even praying to God that I want this to happen. And then the, like I said, the values and the alignment is so far off on what they say they want compared what to what they're actually doing in their life, the habits they're creating, the things that the routines that they're putting together, the things that they're willing to give up. I tell most of the people when I start doing coaching with them or I start spending time, I'm like, what are we subtracting? That's usually my first question. What are we subtracting? Because we live in this world where there's too much going on in your life and you don't have time to just sit and be quiet. You don't have time to create clarity in your life. You say this is what you want. Is it really what you want? And please explain to me why it is you want it. Why are you praying for this specific thing? Because is it in alignment with what you say, who you are, and what your dreams are, and what your goals are? So now let's start going down that path. What are your dreams? What are your goals? What are you? Okay, well, then if you're praying for this car or whatever it is that they're doing, right? You don't want that car. No, I guess I really don't. What is it you want? Well, I want better relationships. I want better friendships. I want to be with people. All right, so let's work on that. Let's work on, now when we pray to God, we have, we have some intentionality about because, hey, I've waited for the Holy Spirit to kind of tell me what it is that my purpose is, and now that I've found that, now I can go after it. And so that's like even my approach, I coach business and how to make more money, and for fix entrepreneurs to be able to do that. My first whole part of it is a life assessment that I give folks that has 59 questions on it that ask all about identity and trust and faith and leadership and health and purpose. Though that if we get that down, man, it's over. And that's why I think folks they spin around because they're trying to do the dangling carrot of another program that I can go do, the dangling carrot of, oh, let me go try this. If I just do this, the just do's are so bad for you. If just, that's not how you pray for the greatest God in the universe. And you say, if you could just, give me $10, then I would eat today. No, that's, give me the ability for a meal to show up every day or whatever it is that, and so I think we just get stuck in our own, like you said, our own heads, our own minds, our own, and we don't look outside of what we know. And I understand a lot of it because we don't know what we don't know. But if you're seeking, I mean, there's folks that are just, they just want, this is how it was. They're not outward looking people because of environment, because they don't believe. And so they just kind of believe statically that this is the life I've been dealt and it can't change. And until you can believe it can change, and I think that's where God really comes in is when he allows you to believe that you can change it. You can be something different. That when you start reading that book, he said, this is the life that I want for you. Seek thee first in the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. That is the God that we serve. It is not the God that says, you were just born to be this, and that's how you're going to end your life. I haven't found that in the Bible yet.
No, me either.
Not
Me three
at
times,
all.
third year in it, and I have not found that, but I have found a lot of promises that whatever we are saying, as you guys are listening, whether you believe it or not, he wrote the same book for you that he wrote for us. And so it's just a matter of
Tapping
taking the
in.
first step, jump in there.
Yeah.
Dr. B, tell us about a breakthrough that you witnessed that you'll never forget.
Breakthrough that I've witnessed in my own life or another fix's life.
Whichever.
Okay. Yeah, when I think of some of the folks that, oh man, let's see. I'm trying to think of a, you try to find the special one or the good one or the ones that you want to. I've been coaching track and field now for 39 years, and I've been able to coach Olympians. I've been coaching national champions. I've been coaching high school champions. I've been coaching folks, whether it's athletic principals or whatever, and you start thinking about what matters most. Is it the athletic, the person that you get to train, that you get to see them achieve better? And track is one of those fields where it's an individual sport or a team sport. But then you get to work with individuals that you know will never be the winner on the field. They'll never be the one crossing the finish line first. They'll never be the one that is, that you get to see on the medal stand, on the stands, but you know that they're making the biggest difference. And so I can remember one of the athletes I was coaching, he had ended up losing a leg, when he was like 6 years old. And now he's coming out and he just wants to try out. He wants to do stuff. He wants to he wants to get over the bar. We're doing high jump. And so we figure it out. He gets over bars. He gets to go to this national competition. And he realizes, okay, I get to compete. He gets to compete, and I get, whether it was a Special Olympics or a Paralympics or whatever it was, he does really well. But there was another, what was so cool about it, there was another athlete that didn't do so well and lost the bar, and he got his medal, and he went and gave his medal to the other person because it wasn't about winning, it was about, serving. So,
I
yeah.
love that. That is a beautiful story. One more fun question before we plug your shows and your work. What would be the funniest excuse you've ever heard someone give for not pursuing their purpose?
Oh my gosh. Oh, because there's so many excuses that
It's
people,
amazing. Yes.
that people give. Oh, let me think of one because, because I get them so much every day. And oh my gosh, come on, Brian, come on, think of one of the excuses. Oh my gosh. Let's see. Okay. I can remember one of my folks in homeless service. Yeah, this is a pretty funny one. Because he was like, I need to get a job. I want to get a job. But I can't get the job because all of the weed is calling me, and I have to smoke all this weed before I can ever go get the job. And then when I smoke the weed, I have people telling me that I can do stuff. And then he says, okay, so I'm off of it now. I'm gonna go get a job. But now I think I can't do it because what did he say? Because there was some other substance that was calling him that was telling him that he needed to have it. But he says, but I'm not addicted. I can stop anytime that I want, but it's calling me. And so when I went to work, as he did, he went to work and they fired him. And he's like, I can't understand why they're firing me. I was only out in the back of the building and I was only just smoking a little bit. And they told me that I was supposed to be at the cash register, honey, and somebody stole the money out of the cash register because I was out back. And so they
That's
fired me, but
great.
I don't understand why.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, just, excuse after excuse. And I think I probably have some more. I had an athlete once. This was that decided he couldn't win a race. And so he's a hurdler, and it's a 300 hurdle race. So you start at this side of the track and you come around and then you end up on the other side of the track. Well, he was losing the race, right? And so he's in the back. And if he decided if he can't win, why compete and why get better, right? So literally he's in like lane seven. He comes around and there's a fence that has a gate in it and there's stands. And he comes around the turn, he goes
Jumps the
out the
gate.
track, up into the stands, and sat down and watched the end of the race. And I'm looking for him. I'm going, where are you at? Says, if I can't win, I might as well not compete. And I said, well, you don't
Oh.
compete, you can't win.
Yeah.
And so his excuse was that, and I'm like, wait a minute, you literally, I've never seen somebody run up into the stands in the middle of a race in order to get to the top.
Yes.
So there's,
Yeah.
I could probably think of, more. And as when you come on my show, then I'm gonna have one really good for you.
Perfect. Sounds good. 'Cause I mean they come hard and they come fast and they're all day long. It's amazing, and I think a great message if you guys can just get outside of those excuses for a second, 'cause most of the true excuses, right, that other people have were the reasons I had to do the thing. That's it's it works out like that. Brian, please plug your shows. Tell us where to find you. How can my listeners get resourced with you?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to BrianEArnold.com, BrianEArnold.com, that's where everything lies. Whatever I can do to help you, Born for Greatness. If I just have to jump in, and tell you about greatness, let me do it. And your greatness and your genius, I do. So I do the podcast. I have the Living Boldly with Purpose. I have the Journey to Freedom. I do the Routine.live. Love for you to jump into that. What like I said, whatever I can possibly do. I do have coaching programs that if somebody's looking for stuff. But more, I just have a 15-minute conversation with you. bookwithbrian.us, you will be able to have, let's just talk, figure out what your greatness is and figure out if there's a way. And if I can't do it, if I'm not the person, I'm going to send you to somebody else who can, because I want you to be successful because you're an answer to somebody else's prayer. And that's what I don't think people realize is you are an answer to somebody's prayer. And without you being available and letting God use you to be able to do it, there might be somebody in this world who isn't where they should be because you didn't answer that call. And so if I can help you just figure out how you can be an answer and how to live in that world, if I were to say a blessing is, may the Lord bless you and keep you, let his face shine upon you. I want you to walk in God's favor. Every step that you take, everything that you do, everywhere that you go, you are born for greatness. You are God's greatest gift. Let him love on you. Let him wrap his arms around you. You need to have an awesome, incredible, awestruck day to day. I mean, all those things are what energizes life. And so that would be the blessing that I would give you. And then give me a call. Absolutely.
I mean, first of all, amen, Dr. B. And this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special.
Oh, I like
It's
that.
yeah, it's not the degrees, it's not the books, it's not even the programs. It's that you are on a mission to help people remember who they are in a world that is constantly telling us everything that we lack. You are here to remind people what's already inside of them. You help people see that freedom isn't about changing all of the things around them. It's about changing what they actually believe and learn to trust about themselves and helping people step out of limitations and into purpose. This is a God mission. You are stewarding your calling amazingly. I think that's powerful. I fully support this. I mean, that's if all of us could do more work like this, we change the world. To everyone listening, I mean, that's the truth. You're created for more. Not more stuff, not more status, but more purpose and more impact and more freedom. So whatever is holding you back right now, whether it's fear or failure or regret or the self-doubt, it doesn't get the final word. God does. So stop waiting until you're ready. Stop waiting till everything's perfect. Get in the arena. Take the step. Trust the process. Be courageous. This, please remember your message, your message. The things that you've survived may be the exact thing that God is going to use to help someone else find their freedom. If this episode spoke to you, please share it out. Help someone get resourced with Dr. B who needs to get resourced with him. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, I dare you to come tell me why you're special. Thank you so much, Dr. B. This was great. Your work is amazing and God bless your journey.
Thank you for having me. We're not done. You're going to come on
No,
mine. We're going to
got it.
continue to do stuff together for the
For
rest of our
sure.
lives. So I'm
For
so
sure.
excited.